So good to see you in the house this morning. How many glad you're here? Amen. We're heading to the greatest event of the world, right, that ever happened. You know, next week is what? Anybody know what next week is? It's Resurrection Sunday. I'm so excited. You know, and I pray that you guys are just, anybody that comes into your path, just invite them. Even better still, bring them. They're guaranteed to come that way. Well, see, welcome to God's house, welcome to City Light Church, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to those who are joining us online. You're part of our family. So glad that you could be here this morning. We're heading into the latter part of our series. And does anybody know what it's called? The cross. The cross. Wow. The greatest event ever. In this series, that's what we're focusing on. Let's pray before we get into it. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We're so glad that we have the privilege to be here and to hear your word, to be involved in just the presence of God and worship. Lord, I thank you for the worship presence of God. I pray that that has plowed our hearts to receive this seed of your word today. Lord, plant that seed deep in our hearts and water it today, Holy Spirit. May it bring forth fruit in our life as we hear this word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're talking about the cross, and today I want to talk, my message is titled, Keep Walking to the Cross. Keep walking to the cross. And I say, you know, whenever I look at the cross, immediately, you know what I see? I see Jesus. I see the passion of the cross. I see the purpose of his cross, and I see his incredible perseverance. And really, because of that, it literally changed everything for us. You know, the cross also symbolizes opposition. Jesus faced incredible opposition in his life, didn't he? I say the moment he was born, he was facing opposition. The enemy, through this wicked King Herod, was trying to find who this coming king was and was trying to take his life. Jesus, I said, faced huge opposition. But that final week, before he headed, he was on the cross, he faced massive walls of adversity and emotions, and that he had to, it took everything for him to stay on that path and keep walking the path of the cross. On the day before his death, it was on a Thursday, Jesus was gathered with his closest disciples, the three of them, and he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Just, you read that scripture and you just sense the struggle. You just sense the wrestling that Jesus was going through with his destiny, with the decision that he had made. And I want to remind you, it was a decision that he had been making every day for almost 33 years. He'd been making that decision for his life. Verse 39 says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He made a decision that would determine his destiny, but not just his destiny, your destiny, my destiny, and the destiny of the world. Amen? The greatest decision for Jesus was to keep walking to the cross. And I say, perhaps the greatest decision for you and me is to keep on the path that God has for us. And to keep walking the path and to not drop out. I say, today, it's not easy being a Christian, is it? I mean, it never ever was, right? In the time the first born again believers in the book of Acts, it still is tough. It's not easy to serve Jesus, and Jesus never said it would be easy. But listen, he empowered you to live the life he's called you to live. Amen. He did not leave you alone. He called us to walk this path, and in this world and in this life, you know, we're dealing with stuff all the times: problems, new stresses, you know, struggles. I mean, new problems. And there are problems all the time. But listen, when you signed up for eternal life, he says, "I didn't promise you a rose garden," right? And I want to tell you, there's no such thing as a problem-free life, is there? There's no such thing as Hakuna Matata. It doesn't exist, right? In this world, Jesus said, what are you going to have? You're going to have struggles and you're going to have troubles, right? But I say, as a Christ believer, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not always easy, it's not convenient to always have Jesus as the center of your life. It's not easy to serve this Jesus. But I tell you, God didn't leave us alone to live this life. You know, and we talk about this life. This life is more like a journey. He calls it a race. It's a journey. It's a walk. You know, you talk to people, I mean, they go on a long walk, a long journey. You know what they say the toughest part of the journey is? You know what it is? It's usually in the middle. It's the middle part. That's the part where you just got to keep on encouraging yourself. You just got to speak to yourself. That's, you know, it's in the middle that you need to wake up every morning. I say, and you just need to lean into life. Not sit back, but lean into life and encourage yourself, right? Encourage yourself to the point that, you know, it's so easy to give up in life, but we need to, this is the time. It's the middle part. From the time when you accept Christ to the time when you appear before Him in heaven, it's that middle part, right? It's that time in between when you just got to press into God. And so many people will fall out in between the time they started and the finish line. And God is telling us today, we need to keep walking toward the path. You talk about all that Jesus did. You look at Jesus' life. And you know, wow. I mean, Jesus demonstrated incredible power, didn't he? I mean, he was walking on water. Jesus, he was standing up and he was commanding the winds and the waves. He was raising dead people to life. He was healing just about every form of sickness, I mean, infirmity. He was driving out the most powerful demons just with a word. I mean, these are all great demonstrations of Jesus' faith, right? But I want to tell you that probably the greatest demonstration of Jesus' faith was to simply keep walking on the path that God had for his life. Amen? You know, you and I, just think about it. You and I were sitting here in church and we are forgiven and we've been set free from the power of sin, hell, and death. Right? We've been given a brand new start in life. We've given an eternal life. A new beginning because Jesus decided that he was going to walk his path to the cross. You and I, we can stand before God today and we can be in right standing with God. We can go right into that prayer and just be accepted by God. Why? Because Jesus kept walking his path to the cross. Let me ask you, how many are thankful for what Jesus did? How many are you thankful? Are you thankful? We should be thankful. The greatest challenge for you and me as believers is simply to keep walking the path. It's to keep on believing, keep on following, keep on loving Jesus with the same passion, the same intensity that we had on the very first day when we decided to accept Jesus and we started this new life with Jesus Christ. We, you know, it takes intensity. It takes focus to keep on serving Jesus. And this is the time, and this is the hour. I believe we're living in times when our focus as believers can be totally taken off the pathway for our life. What is happening right now is a major distraction of the enemy. And the enemy is using to distract many, many Christians from following the path. But see, the greatest challenge for us is to stay on that path. The greatest challenge is to keep moving forward despite the adversities, despite the trials, despite the difficulties, to just keep on walking towards the path. Amen? Sorry, I just got a problem with my mic here. Just going to squeeze it a little bit. There. That's a bit better. Okay. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Romans 5 verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop what? Say that aloud again. What word? What is to help us develop what? endurance. And endurance develops, what does it do? It develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. I say there's two qualities we've got to develop in our walk, in our life. It's got to be perseverance and endurance. Let's define those. Perseverance, continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties or failure or opposition. In other words, despite the odds, steadfastness, endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activities. In other words, he's talking about the endurance it takes to run a marathon. He's not talking about a sprint. Life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. When you received Jesus, you signed up not for a sprint. What did you sign up for? A marathon. You signed up for the long run. And you better keep on running. Amen? Endurance and perseverance. You put those two words together. What do they mean? Here's what it means. The ability to withstand. Say it with me, withstand. Withstand. To keep moving forward. The ability to withstand. Keep on withstanding adversity, problems, stresses, prolonged stresses, difficulties, failures, opposition. Keep on withstanding. Hebrews 10:35 tells us, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the what? What are you going to get? Read it. Say it. Great reward. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need, not tomorrow, not next week. When do you need it? Right now. We need endurance right now. What you need is patient endurance so that you continue to do God's will. Then you will what? Receive all that He has promised you. How many promises in the Bible has God given you? There are hundreds. Somebody said there are over 300 promises that you could find in the Bible that God has made to His people. We are entering into a new season. And it's not just spring I'm talking about. We are entering into a brand new spiritual season. As much there is change coming, and I believe that many, many people can, you know, if you're a Christian and you're walking with God, you're going to sense it. We've seen changes come to our world that we thought would never happen, right? But I want to tell you, we are going to see changes coming in the spiritual realm and what God is going to do that we have never seen before. I say it's time. Hey, sweetie. It's time. I'm waiting for God to do something different. But you know what? We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. We're entering into a new season. And I want to tell you, whatever is ahead of you, it's good. Good is ahead of you. Whatever is ahead of you is good. But it will cost us. It will cost us. I said, we will have to fight for it. But what God has for us ahead of us will be worth every bit of the fight. Time, it's time to serve God with all your heart and keep going. Amen? Amen? Not to drop out. You look at the Bible and you look at the lives of people. You know what we've been through, even now, with all the stuff in this last year, is nothing compared to what people in the Bible endured. I look at Joseph. Think about Joseph. His life is told in Genesis 37 to 50, 14 chapters. A detailed explanation of what happened in his life. Do you think his life is important? It's one of the most exciting, most powerful stories that you'll ever read. Think about it. Joseph, 17 years of age. He's a teenager. He has dreams. He tells his brothers, big mistake. You know, he's got a coat of many colors. It's a sign of the father's favor. The favor of God is all over Joseph's life. But what happens to him? His brothers get jealous. They beat him up. They throw him into a pit. They sell him to the Egyptians. Potiphar buys him as a slave. He's, you know, and so he's put in charge of Potiphar's household. And he does so well, you know, so that's, you know, he's given all the authority in the household. The favor of God is on him. What happens to him next? He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then he's thrown into prison. The favor of God is on him. But he does so well in prison that he's put in charge of the entire prison under the warden. Favor of God is on him. But then he's just left there for years until Pharaoh has a dream that no one in his kingdom could interpret. But they find out that, hey, there's an interpreter of dreams. There's someone who is gifted with the ability to interpret dreams. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so he's brought up to Pharaoh. Joseph interprets the dreams, just blows Pharaoh away. Pharaoh is so impressed with this young man and his wisdom, puts him in charge of everything under him. He is literally put in charge of all of Egypt, and finally, his dream comes to pass. You look at think of the Apostle Paul. His life is told in 21 chapters, after chapters 8 to 28. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says to the Corinthians, our work as God's servants gets validated. I said, what does that word validated mean? What does validated mean? Proven, right? Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the what? In the details. What are the details? It's your everyday life. It's what people see all the time. It's your relationship. It's when you come to church. It's what you do at work. It's how you treat your wife. Your life is seen in the everyday details. People are watching us as we stay at our post, alertly, unswervingly, in hard times, in tough times, in bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed, mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, clear head, steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, and honest love. Terrifically alive, yet rumored to be dead. Beaten within an inch of our lives, but refusing to die. As Christians, we should refuse to die. Immersed in tears. Yeah, we've got tears, we've got problems. Yet always filled with a deep joy. Living on handouts, yet enriching many, having nothing, yet having it all. What's he talking about? Paul's talking about what he experienced, what he endured in his life, on his pathway to God. He endured troubles, hardships. He endured beatings by the mob. He endured stoning. He endured endless days and nights of tireless work. Sometimes sleepless nights. He talks about being shipwrecked. Not just one time, three times. He's shipwrecked and he's been left alone, floating on the seas for days. But near the end of his life, here's what Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. This is the only race worth running. I've run hard, right to the finish, believed all the way, and all that's left now is the shouting. God's applause. What are you working for? What's your reward? Your greatest reward, I say, is when you get to heaven and you hear those words, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You need to think about Jesus. Think about Joseph. You think about Paul. What about Jesus? Think about Jesus. For 33 years, Jesus faced opposition and adversity. And yet he was found to be without sin. In that garden in Gethsemane, he knew what was coming. He knew what was ahead of him. What was ahead of Jesus? You know what was ahead of him? I'll give you a list. Abandonment. Ahead of him was the abandonment. All his friends would just, all of a sudden, evaporate, just take off. Ahead of him was the false accusation, false witnesses testifying to him, condemning him to death on the cross. Ahead of him was the mockery, the soldiers. Do you remember that? They beat him, they spat on him, you know, and they called him the king of the Jews. Ahead of them was pain, incredible, horrible pain of whips and flogging. Ahead of him was the cross, the weight of the cross that he had to carry. He was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. Ahead of him was the pain of the nails and the spikes in his hands and his feet. Ahead of him was the shame of literally hanging on that cross, naked, for everyone to see. Ahead of him was the heartbreak, perhaps the hardest thing, the heartbreak, when his father looked away and his presence was not there. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, yet for the joy set before him, he endured. Thank God he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Listen, if you're going through it today, I want to tell you, you are not alone. God is with you, right? And I've said this to people. People say, well, I'm going through so much trouble. It must be me. I must be such a big sinner. I said, no. You know, the problem is, you know, you're not out of the will of God. I must be out of the will of God. No. I would say you're probably right in the will of God. Right? God refines us through our troubles and through our trials. God does something in us, right? So keep on walking to the cross. Amen? I could finish there, but I want to give you three more things. Three quick things. Three things. If you want to walk this life and you want to fulfill the destiny and purpose in your life, then you've got to have these three things flowing in your life. You want to know what they are? Okay, good. Number one, three things to do. You've got to exercise your attitude. Exercise your attitude. You probably heard this. 80% of what happens in your life is determined by your attitude. Your attitude. Attitude is something that you set. Attitude is a choice. You have a choice to give up, or you have a choice not to give up. Right? You set the atmosphere by your attitude. Right? I say, like, attitude is like a thermometer. It's something that you set. If it's cold in your room, in your house, what do? You go to the thermometer and you turn it up to the temperature that you want. You set the temperature, the spiritual temperature of your walk with God. Amen? We have the choice. We determine the attitude in which we're going to serve God. Jesus set his attitude. The Bible says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Isaiah 50 verse 7. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my flint. It's my face like flint. He's saying, I set my countenance, my attitude like flint. And I know I will not be put to shame. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, what kind? Any kind. What kind of trouble are you going through? It's one of these troubles, right? When troubles of any kind come your way, what are you supposed to do? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, I want to clarify something. He didn't say consider it an opportunity for great happiness. When something bad or negative happens to your life, are you going to jump up and down and shout hallelujah and be all, you know, big smiles? No. But listen, you may not be happy, but you can still be full of joy. Amen. Joy is the deep underlying stream or current of God's presence in your life. It's your trust. It's your faith. It's your confidence and it's your security that no matter what negative thing is happening in my life, God is going to turn it around for good. Like he promised in his word. Amen? In all things, God works for the what? Good of those who love him. He loves you and he's called you to his purpose to walk towards the cross. Amen? We can trust in him. Keep on walking towards the cross. Count it all joy. Even in the most difficult situations, count it a joy to serve Jesus Christ. I said Jesus went through all kinds of trouble, but he did it with joy, with peace, with confidence in his heavenly Father. And we are most like Jesus when we go through our troubles with a deep sense of trust and faith and confidence in God. He calls it joy. What does the Bible say about the joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength, your faith, your confidence, your courage, your determination, your endurance, your attitude. It's your strength. You can take it on, and God will give it to you. James chapter 1, 2 and 4. Consider it a sure gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. You want to know who you are in your faith? God will show you who you are by what he allows to bring into your life. Amen? So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way like his son, Jesus. I say it's through the trials, it's through the troubles, it's through the struggles in our lives, that end up reflecting the goodness of God and the glory of God to a world that is watching to see and desperately needs to see that. Amen? Say with me, exercise your attitude. Turn to the person next to you and say, exercise your attitude. Number two, exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. I said, this thing called faith, faith really is like a muscle. The more you use your faith, the stronger your faith becomes, right? The more your faith is tested, the stronger your faith becomes. In the Bible, nothing happened without faith. Nothing really good of God. Nothing happened without faith. It always took somebody's faith. Amen? Here's what I believe that God is saying. We all have a level of faith. We all have so much faith, don't we? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But he's saying, I want you to reconsider the level of faith that you have. And I want you to take that level of faith that you think you have, and I want you to base it on my power and on my promises. Yes. Every one of us, God has given a level of faith, a next step for each one of us, right? We all have a measure of faith for us today. We all have. So what we need to do is we need to stop questioning. We need to stop doubting. I mean, it's okay to question, but we need to stop doubting. We need to stop rationalizing. And we need to saturate our minds with the word and the promises of God. Right? And we need to get a fresh expectation of God's power working in our lives to bring about something that seems impossible, and it is impossible with man, but it's not ever impossible with God. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. God's giving every man and woman a measure of faith. There's a scripture, Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. It's an extraordinary scripture. And it says, Isaac, which is Abraham's son. We know that Abraham is the man of faith, right? He was declared to be righteous by his faith. Abraham planted crops in that land, and that same year he reaped 100-fold. Why? Because the Lord blessed him. This is an extraordinary scripture. Now, you read that, you would say, it's extraordinary because a hundredfold blessing is extraordinary. It is. But there's something else extraordinary about that. Here's what it is. Isaac planted his crops in a foreign land of the Philistines, and it was during a time of an extreme famine. It was a totally barren place to plant, and nothing grew. But by faith, Isaac planted and he reaped a hundredfold. Point is, here's the point. You will always reap what you sow when you sow it in faith. You will always reap what you sow. So sow good seed. Sow faith into your life. Sow trust into your life. Sow endurance into your life. Right? Sow courage and confidence into your life, your heart and your mind. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, you will always harvest what you what? You will always harvest what you sow. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you sow. Amen? So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. I say, if we don't give up, blessing will come into your next season. If you don't give up, healing will come into your next season. If you don't give up, harvest will come into your next season. I say, if you don't give up, you will become stronger, bigger, and better. And as a result, I say, God will be able to use you more. How many want to be used by God? I want to be used by God. These are the days I'm going to say, God, whatever you have for me, use me. You know, I don't want all these restrictions saying I can't do anything. I can't talk to people. I can't look them in the face. You know, I can't get together with them. God, use me. Open up the doors. God, use me. Right? Say with me, exercise your faith. Say with someone else, exercise your faith. Okay, one more. Here. Last one. Thank you. Exercise your liberality. Be liberal with your life. Yeah, be liberal. You know, I said this before, like when people experience difficulties or problems, when they're going through a major thing in their life, and they're trying to defeat that, they're walking through something, the tendency is for people and for Christians to withdraw and to kind of disappear and to just close up, and it becomes just about me, right? And it's okay to focus on yourself. But I believe that sometimes the best thing that you could do to get your mind off your own problems is to help somebody else. Amen? It's to let life flow out of you instead of just containing your life, right? Right? You were gifted. You were gifted by God. You were gifted by God to be a river and not a reservoir. Big difference, right? What's the difference between a river and a reservoir? Have a look. Here's a river. It's flowing with life. Fresh, there's fish in there, there's good stuff. There's a flow into it and there's a flow out of it. What happens to a reservoir? It just receives and it never gets out. And after a while, you know what happens? It starts to stink. Stagnant. Sometimes the best cure and remedy for the problems that you're going through is start to help other people, even in the midst of your trials. Whatever you can do, do it. And let's see God's fresh flow of His life come into your life. You struggling with depression? I've heard of stories. People were struggling with depression, just couldn't get over it. They couldn't get over some issues in their life. You know, and Pastor Tommy Barnett, Matthew Barnett, told this one lady, you know, he says, here's what I want you to do. She says, I'm struggling with depression. I just can't beat it. I just want to give up. I want to commit suicide. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you, for the next 2 weeks, I want you to go out every night. And they had this ministry at 2 a.m. where they had all these buses and vans, and they go out into the inner streets of L.A. And it was like a whole new life came out. All these people came up that were struggling in life. But anyway, he says, I want you to bake cookies. I want you to take a couple dozen cookies and take them out every night. Get on that bus, take them out, and just go and help those people. And then come back and see me after 2 weeks. So he waited for 2 weeks. She never showed up. She never showed up after a month. He saw her in a service. He said, hey, I thought you were going to come see me. He says, I don't need to see you anymore. He says, God is healing me of my depression. He says, because I started to look at somebody else's life and not just my own. Healing started to come into her life. You were gifted by God to be a giver. Every single one of you have a gift. You got to use it. Don't even let COVID times keep you from your gift. God, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Well, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. And then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Exercise your gift. Use your gift. The more you use them, the better they get. The more powerful they get, right? Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. Stir it up, right? Use it. Keep on serving. Keep on loving. Keep on giving. Keep on volunteering. Keep on, you know, and do it with the strength and the energy that God gives you, right? And I said that, I'll say this again. When you're asked to do something, when Pastor Doug asks you to do something, or somebody else in the ministry team asks you to do something, say yes. Say yes to almost everything. Amen? Say yes. Exercise your liberality. Endurance, perseverance, I say those two words should sum up our lives as believers in Christ. I know your lives are not too much different than ours, but I've been a Christian for a few years, like 30 years. And those 30 years, I tell you, you know, even Karen and I would say we've gone through hardships, we've gone through difficulties, we've gone through adversities, but you know what, Karen and I, we have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? We used to sing that old song. I have decided. Come on, sing it with me. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I apologize for that. Yeah. I have decided to follow Jesus, right? The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Amen? No turning back. Amen. No turning back. I say, you know, it's not always going to be like it is right now in your life. It's not always going to be the way it is. Maybe you're going through a struggle, hardship, a problem, maybe an illness. But I want to tell you, keep walking. Keep walking because there is reward. There is a breakthrough coming. There is favor. There is healing coming to you in the next season. In the next season, you plant now faith and endurance and goodness and giving in your life. There is a harvest coming to you in the next season. On your PowerPoint. What you sow now, in this season, you will harvest in the next. Amen? It's a powerful principle, undeniable, of God that absolutely works. Amen? Every single one of us have been given by God a path to walk, and it is designed by God. It's no surprise what you're going through today, right? And this path, it has incredible joy, it has life, it has rewards, but it's also a path that's laced with things like pain and disappointment, uncertainty, injustice. But listen, it's only a part of your life. Your life, it's only a part, right? Don't make the part of your life the story of your life. Amen? It's only a page. It's only a chapter. God has good ahead of you. Amen? God has good. Whatever is ahead of you, it's good. What is ahead of you is going to be good. So stay on the path. Amen? The greatest achievement, the greatest challenge in your life will be to stay on the path that God has for you to walk. Even when life is hard, even when life is unfair, even when it's unjust, even when troubles come into your life, and even when problems arrive, that you make that decision that you will stay on the path that God has for your life. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? You know, I looked at that scripture and said, you know what, it's not. It's like God saying, your strength is small. You're weak. I'm weak. I'm one of the weakest people ever, right? Even Paul, he admitted, was weak. But listen, we're human. We are weak. But God is strong. It's not about your weakness. We're all weak. We struggle. We need other people to help us. And boy, do we need God's help, don't we? But here's what Paul said. When you're weak, you are strong. Right? But why? Because your weakness is made strong through God's strength in your life, right? We can't do it without God. We have to depend on God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong, walk the path that God has for your life. Amen? And I say, don't let anyone push you off the path. Don't let opposition, don't let disappointment, don't let betrayal, don't let offenses knock you off the path. I see so many people offended. I see Christians being offended. Jesus said one thing. He warned us too, didn't he? He said, listen, in this life, you're going to be offended. It's not if you will. You will be offended. And if you haven't, wow, it's been a miracle. But someday, if you haven't, it's going to happen. Somebody's going to say something or do something to you that, and you're going to get offended. And listen, you can take that offense and you can talk about it for days, for weeks, for months, for years. Well, they did that to me. They said that to me. And because of that, well, I'm not going to come back to church anymore. I want to give you a warning. And this is a warning in love. You will regret the day that in that moment that you decided to get offended. You will regret that at that moment that you made that decision not to forgive and to just get over it. Get over it. I say, you know what? Grow up. Get over it. You know why you should get over it? You get over it so that you can stay on the path that God has called you to walk. Amen? Offense will knock you off the path. I've seen so many offended Christians disappear, no longer in church, hardly serving God, and their lives are a mess because of one offense that they refused to deal with and give to God. Get over it. Say to your neighbor, get over it. Get over it, okay. Whatever it is, get over it. Yeah, good saying, right? Jesus gave us the ultimate example of what it looks like today to make a decision that will bring to us joy and victory tomorrow for us. Amen? So let's look at Jesus. He's the greatest example of the one who did it, who walked this earth. Let's finish with these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 3. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. Say with me, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Then he says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. I said whatever is a big word. Whatever covers whatever you are facing in life right now. Amen? Whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, and that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I say, let's look past what's happening today, and let's look up the big picture, because you and I, we are heading to our greatest reward. We're heading to our greatest destiny. Amen? So let's set aside that long list of litany of hostility, and let's press on to go with Jesus. Amen? Let's give Jesus a hand for what he did. Thank you, Jesus. You're the greatest example. You're the greatest model, Lord, and you empower us to live this life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, bow your heads, please. I want to ask you some questions. Is there anything, as you bow your heads, is there anything that you need to get over? Is there anything that's holding you back? Is there anything that you need to put behind you? Is there anything you are facing right now that looks too big to overcome? It's not too big for God. Is there anyone here, man, woman, teenager, who needs to say something to God? Who says to God, I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to move into the direction of God's plan for my life. I'm going to follow Jesus. No matter what is in my path, I am going to follow Jesus. I'm hopping and I'm following his path for the rest of my life. And I'm getting on and I'm staying on the path that God has for my life. In Jesus' name, and if you agree with that, say amen. 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 Keep your heads bowed. Maybe you're here today and you never asked Christ into your heart. You never made that decision. I want to tell you, this is the day to make that decision. Now is the time. Now this is the very moment you need to give your life to Christ. The very first decision that you should make, and the greatest decision, is to give your life to Jesus. And you can do it right now by just saying this simple prayer. But I promise you, you say this prayer and your life will change forever. If that's you, you want to receive Christ, you're watching online, and you want to receive Christ into your heart, change your life forever, make you into a new person, then say these words after me. You're not saying them to me, you're saying them to Jesus, to the Father, and he'll hear every word that you say. Say these words with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. Please forgive me for every sin that I have committed. Make me into that new person. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time and you're here, can you just wave, put your hands and just wave? Just wave your hands and we'll show you what your next step faith in God. If you said that prayer, I want you to go right back, right after, and go to that where that lamp is. It's called the Welcome Lounge. And someone will meet you there and show you what your next faith step in God is. Amen? If you said that prayer and you're online, I want you to push that little hand near the bottom of the screen. That tells us that you said that prayer. Then call the number on the screen and we'll put you in touch with someone who will tell you what the rest of your life can be like. Your next step. First step, receive Christ. Next step, wow, there's another step for you. It's just the beginning in your faith walk with God. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Almost done. I say sometimes the best thing that you can do when you hear a message is to put it into practice, right? So here's an opportunity. In our offering message, my offering message, here's an opportunity to put into practice. Here's a great scripture. It's not on the screen. Listen to these words. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 9:6, a stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from my generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring from spring up freely from the joy of giving. All because God loves a hilarious generosity. God loves hilarious generosity. If you study the Bible says that God loves seven things. Or actually says God loves. You know what one of those seven things is? A generous, happy giver. Joyful giver. Hilarious giver. So when you give, give generously. Give with joy. Laugh about it if you want. But give. Six, five ways to give. Cash, check, debit, credit, e-transfer. Whatever way you give is great. Let's be good givers. Amen. Give out and God gives back to you. Give out. If you give out, life flows into your life. It's a cycle, isn't it? God is so good. Amen. This week, once again, we have prayer and people going out, putting hangers on doors in the neighborhood. And just, we're waiting for emails to come. I believe Monica said, she said, a couple emails come now. It's exciting, connecting the people to the community, to the church. And if you want to join that, just contact Monica, contact the church office, be a part of Pray and Go. Amen. All right, so we're finishing up with prayer. If you need prayer today, come and receive prayer. And if you're part of that Pray and Go team, we want to pray for you too as well. Amen? You glad you're here today in church? Isn't it great to be in church? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for your church. What a gift of God church is. Amen? So we're done now. So stick around, enjoy some fellowship. And if you're online, see you next week too as well. God bless you. Love you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget, it's Easter week. Next week, you see anyone that comes in your path, invite them to church. Better still, bring them. Amen? God bless you.